Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. And we have an interesting show for you today. As we've been doing yesterday, we started this little series on talking about our book, Answering Mormons' Questions, because it's been 1 year since that book actually came out. A lot of people still aren't really familiar with this resource that we have made available that will help a lot of Christians to better prepare themselves for some of the questions that a Mormon will probably ask them in the course of a conversation. Each chapter is broken down as one of those questions. Today, we're looking at chapter 4. Aren't evangelism efforts aimed at Mormons just another act of persecution? And we hear this a lot, that just the mere challenging a Mormon on their truth claims or asking them sometimes what they believe in light of what history actually says is oftentimes taken by the Latter-day Saint as a threat, and they also look at it as an act of persecution. Now, in the book, we have these response questions that help to clarify wanting to know exactly why the Mormon is asking this type of a question. What do they mean by it? So one of those clarification questions or response questions is what?
Why should disagreement with another person's faith position be considered persecution?
I think that's a great question. Sadly, the Mormons fall into this cultural shift that we have here in the United States in particular, where any type of disagreement is automatically equated as hatred and bigotry. And we've read several of those emails on our Fan Mail Friday shows, because that seems to be a common theme. It's like a talking point with many Latter-day Saints. And I think that's a great question to ask them after they've asked you something like this.
Yeah, last Friday we had a listener tell us that we were bigots, and we get that all the time. And our hope is that you would just be willing to converse in a nice way. That's what we're trying to do. And we may disagree on these fundamental issues as to what is truth. I think we can do it in a cordial way.
One of the other response questions that we have listed here is, suppose it is true that members of the LDS Church have been or are being persecuted. How would this make their church true? How would it make the LDS Church true? That really doesn't prove anything. Sure, Jesus did say that his followers will suffer persecution. But it doesn't necessarily mean that just because a persecution is brought upon a particular people, that that vindicates what that particular group really believes regarding their view, quote unquote, of Christianity. I love this quote that we have in the book in chapter 4. It's by 70 Carlos Ace. Now, he's passed away. He died several years ago. But the quote we have in the book, what does it say?
Since the spring of 1820, Lucifer has led a relentless attack against the Latter-day Saints and their leaders. A parade of antichrists, anti-Mormons, and apostate groups have appeared on the scene. Many are still among us and have released new floods of lies and false accusations. These faith killers and testimony thieves use personal contacts, the printed word, electronic media, and other means of communication to sow doubts and to disturb the peace of true believers.
I love that quote. I mean, he does everything but throw out Korihor at us. I mean, and that's usually the name we often hear. Oh, you're just a Korihor. And Korihor was a bad guy in the Book of Mormon. Most Mormons know that.
And before we go any further, I think we need to say that, yes, there have been times when Mormons have been unfairly treated.
Yes.
And we're not denying that that has taken place, but if people want to know about how Christians are being persecuted even today, persecution.com is Voice of the Martyrs website. Go on there and you'll see. I mean, yeah,
that's real persecution.
This is
it's
stuff.
Not just disagreeing with ideas. It's physical persecution, something, of course, we do not advocate at all.
Especially in a lot of the Muslim countries, it's a death sentence if you say that you're a Christian or you convert from Islam. And I mean, you know, yeah, persecution does take place even today. I think the Mormon needs to realize what real persecution is today.
Yeah, and it's really not just because someone disagrees with you that you say, see, that proves we're true because someone is persecuting us. You're misdefining it. In the book, we talk about an act of persecution that we hear all the time, and that is the Hans Mill Massacre. If ever any historical issue comes up that tends to vindicate the Mormons and how they were persecuted would be Hans Mill. Most people in the Mormon church don't realize that Hans Mill was actually a retaliatory strike. And we might mention, today is the 175th anniversary of the Hans Mill massacre.
And we have something on our blog site, Mormon Coffee. That
Sharon has prepared an article dealing with this subject, and it's on Mormon Coffee right now. If you wanted to go check that out, it goes into much more detail than we're going to talk about. And also, we have an article on our website that also deals with the Hans Mill massacre. But actually, a lot of people don't realize that Hans Mill was, again, a response to what had happened about a week prior at a place called the Crooked River, the Battle of Crooked River. And this is when a group of Missourians were actually attacked by a group of Mormons. And there was bloodshed in this. And as a result of this bloodshed, the Missourians decided to seek revenge, and they did so at the Hans Mill.
You know what, Bill, let me read what Michael Quinn, D. Michael Quinn, wrote about this, and he gives some background. We have this on our page.
We should mention that Quinn was a former Mormon historian. He was excommunicated in 1993, but he still believes in Mormonism.
And so page 49 of our book, this is what he writes. A generally unacknowledged dimension of both the extermination order and the Hans Mill massacre, however, is that they resulted from Mormon actions in the Battle of Crooked River. Knowingly or not, Mormons had attacked state troops, and this had a cascade effect. Finally, upon receiving news of the injuries and death of state troops at Crooked River, Governor Lilburn Boggs immediately drafted his extermination order on 27th of October, 1838, because the Mormons, quote, have made war upon the people of the state, end quote.
And we should mention at this time that many times they bring that out about Boggs and the extermination order, but really, it was Sidney Rigdon that brought up the word extermination against the Missourians several months previous to this. So I know Mormons don't always bring up that part of history, but again, if you're going to really look at history in an accurate fashion, you have to put everything into its proper perspective. And though I don't think persecution of this sort is right at any time, it does tend to answer a lot of the questions that surround this particular incident. So anyway, go ahead.
Bill, I think you need to tell us a little bit, because it's a fascinating story with David W. Patton. And what took place at the Battle of Crooked River on the 25th of October. What happened with David Patton?
Well, what we say, and this is actually Quinn again, it says, likewise, at the beginning of the Battle of Crooked River on the 25th of October, 1838, Apostle David W. Patton, a Danite captain with the code name Fear Not, told his men, "Go ahead, boys, rake them down." The highest-ranking Mormon charged with murder for obeying this order was Apostle Parley P. Pratt, who allegedly took the careful aim of a sniper in killing one Missourian and then severely wounding militiaman Samuel Tarwater. This was after Apostle Patton received a fatal stomach wound. In their fury at the sight of their fallen leader, some of the Danites mutilated the unconscious Tarwater, quote, with their swords, striking him lengthwise in the mouth, cutting off his underteeth and breaking his lower jaw, cutting off his cheeks, and leaving him for dead. He survived to press charges against Pratt for attempted murder. That's the story of Samuel Tarwater. You ask most Latter-day Saints, who was Samuel Tarwater? They don't know who he is.
Yeah.
Quinn brings this out. And again, what Quinn is trying to do is to paint the entire canvas, not just a little small portion of the painting. He's painting the entire canvas to give you an understanding of what was going on at that time period. There was a lot of tension. There is no doubt that there was a lot of serious friction between the Latter-day Saints during this time period in the late 1830s and leading, unfortunately, to this incident.
And with Tarwater's disfigurement, I mean, he gets his cheeks cut off. I mean, this is a major thing. It seems like the Mormons did a lot that a lot of Mormon people would not understand or know to have retaliation take place. That they were not just innocent victims by themselves. They did things as well to cause the Missourians to go against them.
A lot of times, too, we hear Mormons talk about the hundreds and hundreds of deaths resulting from this persecution period that the Mormons went through. And I have to say, one death is far too many. I will admit that. But I don't think it helps the Mormon cause when even the number of deaths is exaggerated. And what we do in the book is we try to give a more proper perspective, citing Mormon sources again, showing that even though the persecution did take place, the amount of deaths is not as many as many Mormons are led to believe. We talk about on page 50, to the contrary, deaths during the LDS persecution period were not as high as many Mormons imagine. Speaking during the October 1907 General Conference, 70 B.H. Roberts, this is Brigham H. Roberts, stated, first, let me tell you the net results of the persecution of the Latter-day Saints in Missouri, so far as they can be told in a summary. There were killed outright of men, women, and children, so far as careful estimates can be made, more than 50 souls. More than 50. 50. 50. There were as many more wounded and beaten. How many perished by slow death, suffering untold agonies by reason of exposure and cruelties, no one knows. Nor can it be computed. Now, if no one can know and it can't be computed, it would really be unfair for Mormons to keep using this phrase of hundreds, maybe even thousands of deaths.
Well, when Brigham Young led the people across the plains, they left at a bad time of year, and there was some not wise choices made. A lot of people died on the trek to Utah, and a lot of Mormons blame the people of Illinois and even Christians for causing that.
Sure, because they would say, well, if it wasn't for these persecutions, there would be no reason for the Mormon people to put themselves in a situation like that. That becomes debatable. And again, and I admit that is a debatable issue that should be talked about, can be talked about. But as I said before, I just think it's not helping the Mormon cause when they exaggerate the numbers. And I want to once again reiterate, one death is one too many. It's wrong. Just because we have a disagreement of theology does not mean we respond by trying to cause bodily harm against the person with whom we disagree.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to understand some of the basic beliefs of your Mormon neighbors but don't know where to begin? Well, beginning at 9 in the morning on Saturday, November 2nd, Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will be presenting a Compassionate Boldness Symposium at Crossroads Christian Fellowship, located in the Ogden area. Together, we will examine the Mormon view of the Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Godhead, salvation, with special emphasis on how to effectively dialogue with Mormon family members, friends, and co-workers. Those in attendance will receive a complimentary set of notes, and lunch on the premises will also be provided. Remember, this event is free, although an offering will be taken to further the efforts of Mormonism Research Ministry. The presentation will go from 9 till 2 on Saturday, November 2nd. It's all happening at Crossroads Christian Fellowship, located right there at 6545 Combe Road in Uinta. That's 6545 Combe Road. If you have any questions, please call the church at 801-479-1052. We hope to see you there.